And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you're having a wonderful day, folks. And this is the day the Lord has made, and we can be glad and rejoice in it. And whatever challenges it might hold, you are more than equal to it. You will succeed. You will have victory. You will overcome it. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And that makes all the difference. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for praying for us, encouraging us. Thank you for all the support that you provide for American Family Radio. We really are grateful. I'm your host in this segment for The Awakening. E.W. Jackson is my name. If you're tuning in for the first time, I am doubly glad to have you because we want to keep expanding our listener base. And so I want to encourage you, if you know someone who's never heard the program, never listened to AFR, remind them that we do archive our programs on podcasts on the radio website. Go to AFR.net, look under podcasts, and you will find any and all the programs that you want to listen to from the past. So if something particularly strikes you on a given day and you think, wow, I'm really sorry that Mabel missed that, go talk to Mabel and tell her, hey, listen, you can still listen to the program. You can still get it because all you got to do is go to the website and tune into it, AFR.net, and just click on The Awakening or whatever program it happens to be, and there it is. There you have it. So I want to encourage you to do that. That makes a big difference for us, too, because it allows us to keep getting the word out even when we're not on the air live with any particular program. So thank you all for that. Also want to mention to you that tomorrow, 8 Days of Hope kicks off their effort to help the people in Jackson, Mississippi, who have been beset by flooding. 1,500 homes expected to be flooded, and up to maybe 900 of those homes are already experiencing flooding. And 8 Days of Hope has opened volunteering on the website. The website is just like it sounds, 8daysofhope.com, to serve the people in Jackson. And that kicks off tomorrow after 3 p.m., tomorrow after 3 p.m. Central Time, after 3 p.m. Central Time, tomorrow, Friday, February 21st. And these people have done some great work, and we want to encourage you to help them in any way you can. If you can volunteer and be a part of their effort to help the folks in Jackson, Mississippi, please do that. We will be grateful. And they will be the people of Jackson will be very, very grateful. Obviously, 8 Days of Hope will be grateful, but most importantly, God will be pleased and glorified by it. And folks, since this is Thursday, I want to remind you that every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, which is, of course, 2 p.m. Central Time, I hold an organizing call for something called the Stand Against Communism Coalition. And folks, when I started this, I had no idea how much this issue was going to be in the news. But as you all know, just last night, Michael Bloomberg, in effect, accused Bernie Sanders of being a communist, something I've been saying, by the way, for quite some time. And he said, it's communism, and we've tried that. Can you believe it? Folks, I've been around here long enough on this earth and involved in politics long enough to remember when the Democrat Party was actually anti-communist. And now they're basically arguing among each other about who is a communist among themselves. That is quite a sea change, isn't it? Where you've now got Democrats accusing other Democrats of being communist in order to distinguish themselves from being communist. But, you know, the sad fact is, folks, the whole platform of the Democrat Party has really become communist. I mean, you come right down to it. People, oh, no. I've had people write me, too, and say, That's not true. There's a big difference between socialism and communism, and you, E.W. Jackson, just don't have the sense to understand the difference. You know what it is, folks? I'm a little bit too wise to buy into that deception, because socialism really is communism. They both end in the same place. Totalitarian control over everything and everybody. So please, just spare me the letters explaining to me how I lack the intelligence to distinguish between socialism and communism, because they're two different things. You know, that's probably a person working for Bernie Sanders. They're not two different things. Marx didn't believe that. Engels didn't believe that. Trotsky didn't believe that. You name it. Go down the line. Stalin didn't believe that. That's why he named his country the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. The communists in Vietnam didn't believe that. That's why they called their country the Socialist Republic of Vietnam. So please, folks, this stuff. But anyway, today, Thursday, at 3 p.m. Central, we're going to have a call called the Stand Against Communism Coalition. And folks, we are planning a big, 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 big thing. On May 1st, we are planning to hold nationwide state rallies at the capitals against communism and socialism and Marxism and the stuff that is attempting to overthrow our constitutional republic. And we want everybody to join. And if you can, mark your calendar now. You'll see information in your state about who's organizing. We're just getting in the process of organizing and appointing people around the country who will be spearheading the efforts in their own states. But I just want you folks to be there, because we need to make a loud, clear, peaceful, but vociferous statement. America is never going to be a socialist, communist, Marxist country. We, the people, will not allow it. So you can join us in the call today. If you want the information, I'm not going to read it on the air, but if you want the information to join the call, just email me at EWJ@standamerica.us. EWJ@standamerica.us. Well, folks, I've got a big announcement to make. I could not watch the entire debate last night because while I do have a very strong stomach, it's not that strong. So I could not watch the entire debate last night, but I caught bits and pieces of it, as I'm sure most people would do who are interested, but perhaps can't stomach the nauseating garbage that flows from the mouths of these politicians who are all competing to see who can be the best version of Joseph Stalin or whatever totalitarian communist leader you want to pick. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's all this is about. That's all that their whole campaign is about, and that's why they're about to nominate a communist probably. They're probably going to nominate a communist for president. And Bernie Sanders is a communist. They're probably going to nominate him for president. But I've got a big announcement to make about this, folks. I have a profound insight about who won that debate last night. And I can't wait to share it with you. You're probably waiting on pins and needles to know who I think it was. But before we get into that, I've got a very special guest coming up in the next segment. And I am looking forward to talking to him. It is Pastor Robert Jeffress of First Baptist Church of Dallas, one of the earliest and most vociferous supporters of now President Donald J. Trump. This is going to be a very interesting conversation. Stand by.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. One weapon used by progressive activists is the cancel culture. It is an organized attempt to ruin your reputation or destroy your business. Vince Vaughn was the target of leftists because he was caught on camera talking to President Trump and shaking his hand. Another example was the attempt by students at Oberlin College to put Gibson's Bakery out of business. Vince Vaughn's career will probably survive, and the court actually awarded the Gibson family millions from the school. We may not fare so well if the progressive mob targets us. That would certainly be true if government or business starts working against you. A few years ago, I wrote about the Obama administration's program known as Operation Choke Point. Pressure was put on banks to decline loans to gun manufacturers and other operations. When the Trump administration put a stop to Operation Choke Point, progressive activists decided to start targeting banking institutions with smear campaigns so that they would stop lending to businesses and industries that they defined as undesirable. That would not only include gun manufacturers, but fireworks manufacturers, oil and gas companies, companies doing business with Israel, and just about any business owned by a conservative or Christian. Bank regulations prohibit such discrimination, but that hasn't stopped some of these activists from weaponizing these banks for their political purposes. That is why the House Financial Services Committee held a hearing on the subject, and the chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, along with more than a dozen other U.S. senators, sent a letter of concern to regulators before the hearing. These progressive activists have found a way to force their views on society without winning an election or without convincing Congress to implement their desires. We cannot let a liberal mob intimidate banks into denying credit to legitimate businesses and industry. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. And it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. You can cancel your subscription to the UFC Cage Fighting Championship and just start watching the Democrat debates. Last night was particularly brutal for Mike Bloomberg, who is obviously the guy the other Democrats fear the most. The Talking Snake Media tells us who won the debate, and it's probably not who you think it is. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, folks, I am honored to have as my guest Dr. Robert Jeffress, pastor of the great First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Dr. Jeffress, welcome to The Awakening. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Bishop, for having me.
Listen, there's something I've wanted to ask you since the first time you emerged on the scene supporting this president, and that was I started out supporting another candidate. I just didn't see Donald Trump as the person that evangelicals needed to get behind. And I didn't quite understand why were so many evangelicals gravitating toward Donald Trump? And you were one of the very earliest people to come out in support of him. What was it that you saw? What? Because you're a man of God, and I know you didn't do that just on some sort of crass political terms. You obviously had thought about this, and you came out and you caught some flack for it, too. What was it that you saw that the rest of us didn't see?
Well, I'll just have to say it was not a prophetic revelation. It was a political calculation. And I think, by the way, there's a place for that. 1 Chronicles 12 tells us we ought to be like the men of Issachar, men who understood their times and knew what Israel should do. And I knew in the time that we're living that a traditional candidate could not win the presidency and wouldn't beat Hillary Clinton and her godless agenda for America. And so I just really thought it was going to take somebody like Donald Trump. And he tells the story often. In fact, he told it a couple of weeks ago when we were together. He said, you know, I remember seeing Pastor Jeffress on TV one night. Melania and I were watching, and we saw him saying, you know, Trump may not be the perfect Christian. He may not read his Bible as much as he should. He may not pray as much as he should, but he's a great leader, and that's what we need. And, you know, that's what I believe was needed. We needed somebody who would champion what we believe are Christian values in our country and was willing to do whatever it took. And, you know, I think as we all look back now, I think we can all say there's never been a more pro-life, pro-religious liberty, pro-Israel, a president in history as Donald Trump. And so I know the president appreciates the support of evangelical Christians for this president.
I just wrote an article saying that very thing. I think he is probably the most pro-religious liberty president we have ever had in our history. So it's an amazing thing.
I mean, just think about this. Talking about that religious liberty, just a few weeks ago in the White House, he has students and teachers in the Oval Office, and he reaffirms the right, the constitutional right of children and teachers to pray in school. You never saw George W. Bush do that. You never saw Ronald Reagan do that. I mean, this guy is stout.
Well, I'll tell you something. I am absolutely convinced that he is the man for our time. And whether it was a prophetic revelation or not, I really believe that God picked him for this time because we needed a fighter who would absolutely not back down. And in these times, we can see that there's something to fight over. So I want to get to this. For the first time, you know, I say 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the Democrat Party was against communism. Now we have the Democrats fighting among each other over who is and isn't a communist themselves. How do you process that? Give me your reflections on how far left that party seems to have gone.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. This coming Sunday, I'm preaching through the book of Revelation, and I'm coming to Revelation 13 about the one world government under the Antichrist. And, you know, history has proven that given a choice between security or freedom, people will choose security almost every time. And it's going to be that way in the final 7 years of Earth's history when the world willingly follows after this leader who promises security to people. And I think you're seeing that's why socialism has at least a certain amount of appeal to a certain segment of society. Now, the good news is, according to Gallup, 53% of Americans say they won't vote for a socialist. And when you ask Christians that question, it's even higher than that. So I really think Democrat parties in the process of shooting themselves in the foot over the possible Bernie Sanders nomination, but it won't always be that way. There will be a time when our country gravitates toward that.
What do you think about the future of America, given the cultural degeneration we've witnessed now? We're commonly public schools are telling kids you don't really know what your gender is until you get older, and we got libraries having drag queen story times and things that, here again, would have been unthinkable just a decade or two ago. Can we reverse this and get our country back on its Judeo-Christian foundations? Do you think there's hope for that?
In the short term, yes. In the long term, no. Again, we know how this movie ends. We've got the last book of the Bible that tells us. I don't think that means, Bishop, we ought to be fatalistic about it, though. I think as salt and light, we have a responsibility to push back. And that's why I wrote my new book, Courageous. It's a call for Christians to live out their life and live out their faith courageously. And God wants us to do that, to live courageously. And that's the hope for our country right now, are Christians to do just that. And look, I'm very excited, as we just talked about the direction this president is leading. But he won't always be in office. And when the left regains control of this country, not if, when I believe there's going to be an onslaught of attacks against Christians and churches like we've never witnessed before. The left is going to launch an attack that's not going to be incremental. It's going to be intensive. And I wrote this book, Courageous, to help Christians prepare for what is coming ahead, I believe, in our country.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've certainly demonstrated that kind of courage, Dr. Jeffress. Now, what do you say to pastors who say, you know, Pastor Jeffress, that's a calling that you've got. I'm not called to get involved. I'm not called to do that. My job is just to look after my flock and look after my church, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Well, look after your flock. Take care of your flock. But part of taking care of your flock is preparing them to withstand whatever comes their way, and to be not just a passive, to be aggressive, to be that salt and light in a decaying and darkening world. And you're shirking your responsibility as a shepherd if you don't teach and preach the truth and prepare your people. And I just think, for salt to be effective on meat, to be that penetrating agent that preserves meat, it has to get out of the salt shaker and actually has to penetrate the meat. And God doesn't want us to stay in the salt shaker, in the church, just speaking to one another. We're to be an influence in this world for Christ.
I don't think I've ever seen more hatred and venom poured out against a president than I've seen against President Trump. What would you say to the body of Christ about praying for him and about what some of his needs might be right now in terms of prayer?
Well, first of all, he appreciates the prayers of Christians. He genuinely appreciates that. Every time I see him, I say, Mr. President, there are millions of Christians who are praying for you. And I think he would ask you to not only pray for him, but pray for his family as well. You know, he is the most resilient human being I've ever been around. Nothing gets him down. But he has a family. He has a wife. He has children. And I think he would say, please remember to pray for them as well.
And the terrible things that are said about his family are just unconscionable. I've tried to draw the distinction between what we Christian conservatives, Bible-believing conservatives, do. We disagree with ideas. We don't hate people. And I think the left would like to draw us into that, but that's not something that will ever please God.
No.
How do this increasing hostility, how should Christians respond?
Well, I think, first of all, in my book, Courageous, the subtitle is 10 Strategies for Thriving in a Hostile World. And I use the same survival techniques that survivalists say you use in a plane crash or an avalanche or a snow earthquake, whatever you find yourself in. And the first rule is don't panic. And I think that's true for Christians. You know, Joshua found himself in a threatening situation. He was told he was going to succeed Moses, and he was fearful. And the Lord said to him, do not be fearful, do not be dismayed, for I, your God, will be with you wherever you are. Take courage. Jesus said that. You know, Bishop, John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, but take courage, for I have overcome the world.
How can people get the book? Because I want to get this book.
Yeah.
How can people get it?
Well, the book is Courageous. You can get it at Amazon.com. It just came out a week before last. It is doing tremendously. Oliver North did one of the endorsements, and he said, for years, I've taught these very same survival tactics to Marines. It never occurred to me how much they apply to the Christian life. So I'd encourage people to get the book, Courageous. And it's something that you can not only use for yourself, but Bishop, I think we need to train our children and grandchildren to be courageous, because they're growing up in a world that is much more hostile toward Christianity than our world, and we need to prepare them to stand alone and stand for Christ.
Well, I'll tell you, Dr. Jeffress, as an old Marine myself, that gives me even more incentive to read the book.
Because Well, you're doing great, Bishop.
Well, listen, look, thank you so much for taking time to join us. And I appreciate all that you're doing to encourage the president spiritually. We all feel the same way you do about him. We're praying for him and trusting that the Lord will give him 4 more years to help bring this country back to the foundations that made us the greatest nation on earth. And thank you for your courage and your patriotism in standing up for those principles.
Well, God bless you and your great ministry. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Well, folks, Dr. Robert Jeffress, and God has used this man mightily in behalf of a president that, frankly, I didn't see coming. But thank God he's here. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Some time ago, I read the story of an incident which happened during the war between the states. It was such a significant story that I would like to pass it along to you. During heavy fighting in a battle, a soldier from the South, assigned the responsibility of carrying the flag for his side, made his way through the battle to a position far out in front of the rest of his army. Planting the flag firmly in the ground, he turned around and found that none of the other soldiers were anywhere near him. A soldier in the ranks saw the color bearer and called out to him, "Bring the colors back down nearer the troops. The fighting is too heavy. We cannot come up any higher." Well, the soldier who was in charge of the flag immediately shouted back, "The flag is already firmly planted. Tell the troops to move up to the flag." You know, there's a world of truth in that story which we need to remember in today's shortcut world. There's a great cry for the standards to be lowered to where the people are, rather than bringing the people up to where the standards fly. Many people today, some of them in responsible positions, are crying out for the standards to be lowered. It's impossible, they say, for the people to come up to the standards. There are two ways for the standards and the people to be joined. One is to bring the standards down to the level where the people are. And one must admit that this is the quickest and easiest solution to the problem. But quite often, the quickest and easiest solution is not the best solution. But there are still people around who would like to bring everything down to the lowest common denominator. The other way of joining the standards and the people is to bring the people up to where the standards are. And, as is obvious, this is the most difficult way. This effort to lower the standards is nothing new to man. It's as old as man himself. Even the Nazarene carpenter was urged to lower the standards for fear that some would be excluded. But as any person of mature wisdom would do, he elected not to bring the standards down to the level of the people, but rather to raise the people to the level of the standards. Nothing is ever gained by a lowering of the standards. No battle has ever been won when it followed the lead of a retreating standard bearer. No decent or just cause has ever been helped by a retreat toward mediocrity. Don't expect this effort to lower the standards to end anytime soon. Those who aren't willing to pay the price of moving up to the standards are likely to keep crying for the standards to be lowered to where they are. Somehow they have a twisted notion that a lowering of the standards would make them better soldiers. When you lower the standards, no one is helped except the cowards. And I can't remember a single battle where a coward led any forces to victory. The standards are firmly in place. Move up to where they are.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Folks, get that book. I think that's, we live in times where we definitely need courage. And that sounds like a great book to inspire us and strengthen us for the battle ahead. Well, look, I said before our interview with Dr. Jeffress that I was going to announce the winner of last night's Democrat debate. Are you ready? Drum roll, please. The winner is President Donald J. Trump. Right. He's the winner of the Democrat debate last night because I think the American people looking at those debates, other than that small base that is interested in socialism and communism and Marxism, the American people, the vast majority of American people looking at that debate thought, there is no way in the world we're going to have one of these clowns in the White House. They have to have been thinking that. Michael Bloomberg, with all his billions, looked like a deer caught in the headlights. I mean, when Elizabeth Warren hit him for the things that he had said against women, and they were all hitting him on the things that he said about the stop and frisk. And look, folks, I supported the stop and frisk policy, but there's a way to talk about that, and there's a way to implement that that doesn't show disregard for the constitutional rights of every citizen, right? And doesn't make every kid a target just because, okay, you know, black people are the problem. But that's the way he talked about it. And he got himself into trouble. Yeah, I just, you know, I have to admit, I get a certain amount of relish out of seeing liberals have the tables turned on them, since they're always pointing the finger at everybody else. Everybody's a racist, and white privilege and white supremacy and all of this stuff. And then suddenly they get caught with their hands in the racist cookie jar. And really? How could that possibly be? Because after all, you are the final arbiter of who is and who is not a racist. But I guess you kind of left yourself out. So he's now facing all kinds of problems. And of course, he's apologizing and he's backing up. I think people would have more respect for him if he just said, look, maybe I didn't talk about it the right way, but the policy was the right policy because it saved the lives of black people. It got a lot of guns off the street, and it made the street safer. But, of course, being the coward that he is, he just basically apologized and kowtowed and bowed and hoping that somehow he'll win some of those black voters back who were repulsed by the way he talked about the stop and frisk policy, and they were right there to pounce on him every step of the way. So clearly, clearly Donald J. Trump won the debate. Michael Bloomberg lost the debate, okay? He lost the debate. Now, Elizabeth Warren and her attacks on him apparently gained a little bit of momentum. She's done. But she apparently gained a little bit of resurgence. She raised some money overnight as a result of attacking Michael Bloomberg. But, you know, I kind of watched her go after him. And I thought to myself, you know, even if she were conservative, I don't think I'd like her. Because she comes across as a lecturing I don't want to say grandmother. I don't want to do disrespect to grandmothers, but just what a lecturing woman. You know? I don't want to use any of the words that are coming to my mind right now because they might they might not seem appropriate. But just really a kind of curmudgeonly, which is usually reserved to men, frankly. But a kind of curmudgeonly old woman who is pointing the finger at everybody and telling them what they need to do. And just not a very gracious, likable individual. And of course, I've never really thought about that because, I mean, first and foremost, she's a liar. And that was certainly enough to make me repelled me from her and not be interested in even listening to anything she's got to say. Not that I'd like any of these candidates personally, but you know, some of them come across as more personable than others. She doesn't even come across as personable to me. She comes across as kind of mean and nasty and you know, ready to bite your head off about something. So I don't know. I think she's done, frankly. And frankly, I think they're all done other than Bernie Sanders and Michael Bloomberg. I think it's between those two now. And I think if you want my prediction, I'd say that Bernie Sanders is going to win the Democrat nomination because the Democrat Party has become a socialist communist party. So I think he's going to get the nomination. They just didn't want it to be so explicit. They didn't want him out of the closet. They didn't want socialism out of the closet, you see. They wanted to keep it hidden. But everything coming out of the closet with everything else, they might as well come out of the closet with that too. Right? Why not? Let's just lay it all out there. You know, folks, this is terrible. I'm free associating. But a wonderful friend of mine, I'll mention his name, the Pastor Iverson Jackson in Little Rock, Arkansas. He is a retired lieutenant colonel from the Army, and he is a vice president, national vice president of my organization, STAN, and he's the Arkansas president of STAN, and he has a favorite saying, put the whole skunk on the table. In other words, he's put the whole skunk on the table, stink and all. In other words, just put it out there. Just tell it like it is. And you know, I kind of enjoy doing that because I think sometimes people don't want to acknowledge that there's a skunk on the table. But once you put it out there and they really smell it, they realize, you know what? That stinks. I don't like that. I think that's one of the charms of President Trump. He just puts it out there. You know, sometimes when he's on doing his speeches, my wife and I just sit there and just laugh because he's very entertaining in the way he expresses himself. And I can't tell you when the last time was, other than Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan made you laugh primarily with stories and little quips. But Donald Trump just has a style that is really just entertaining. And we just laugh. But part of that is a directness that I don't think any president in history has ever had. And it's refreshing. Because he just tells it like it is. He puts the whole skunk on the table. I think that's exactly what Dr. Jeffress saw and what a lot of people early on saw in him as the right kind of leader for this moment in history that people were looking for. Because I think people were really tired of politicians who were parsing words and measuring every syllable and trying to talk for a long period of time without saying anything. And I think people just got frustrated with that and of course saying things that they didn't intend to follow up on in the first place. And I think people just got tired of that. And here's a guy who comes out of the construction industry. He's a businessman. He doesn't really know anything about politics in terms of how politicians behave. He just came as himself. And here it is. And people thought, you know what? I like that. I like that. I like a guy who really says what he means what he says, and I believe will really represent my interests as opposed to telling me whatever he thinks I want to hear so he can further his ambitions and then goes off and forgets me. So, look, the number here to call and talk to me is 888-589-8840. Of course, I've used up a lot of time in this segment riffing about the president and about putting the whole skunk on the table. If Pastor Iverson Jackson was listening when I said that, I gave you attribution, my friend. So I didn't steal it. I gave attribution for putting the whole skunk on the table, stink and all. And that's what this president does. And you know what? That way we get a really clear picture of what is going on, as opposed to a lot of nonsense and pie in the sky and obfuscating everything with a bunch of meaningless words. So President Trump, congratulations. You won the debate last night. Now, folks, I got to get this in before we go to our next break. And then I'm going to come back to take your calls, 888-589-8840. You want to comment on anything that we talked about? You want to comment on the Dr. Jeffress seeing ahead of time that the president was the right guy? Well, I got to do it when I come back. You want to comment on the president himself and his style, because he was out in Arizona last night, had a crowd of tens of thousands once again, or anything else for that matter that you want to talk about. We're open for business. 888-589-8840.
Being the best mother I could do was releasing my child and choosing the best life for her.
Lindsay Pepin on Focus on the Family Minute.
And I remember being at church and praying to God and saying, I place my baby in your strong arms, bring peace to my soul. And God said back to me, you know, I understand, because I had to give up my baby too. And when the God of the universe can come down and meet you right where you are and say, I understand your pain. I get it, because I had to give up my baby too, and I gave up my baby for you. How do you at that point you just have to trust and you just know that he will work it out, that your baby is going to be safe in the right home because he gets it. The God of the universe got my pain. The first out of all that time, no one understood me. No one got me. Nobody understood me, but the God of the universe did.
More from Lindsay at FamilyMinute.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming fast, and we still have a few spaces left.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming to Pine Cove Camp near Tyler, Texas, March 31st through April the 2nd. The retreat is 3 days of relaxation and encouragement for pastors and their wives. It's a chance to address the challenges which are unique to a pastor's family. Pastor Bert Harper of Exploring the Word on AFR and his wife Jan will host the event. Our special speaker will be Dan Celia of Financial Issues, and it happens midweek, so you won't even need to miss a Sunday service. Materials, meals, and lodging are included in the cost of registration. But hurry, space is limited to just 30 couples. Learn more and register at repairingthefoundations.net. That's repairingthefoundations.net. Or call 662-844-5036, extension 300.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat.
We'll see you there.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Speaking of the debate, Pete Buttigieg's brother was on television earlier today basically saying his brother's got a nerve determining who he thinks is a real Christian based on his support for Trump. When Pete Buttigieg's brother-in-law says this guy's whole life is a contradiction of Scripture. Thank you for being honest with people and not allowing family even to cause you to deny the truth in order to do what's politically correct. His brother's name is Pastor Ryan Glesman. Pastor Ryan Glesman. I assume he's married to Pete Buttigieg's sister, I assume. I'm not sure exactly what the connection is there because it's not explained, but at least the man is saying my brother-in-law is off. Thank you very much. That's, believe me, folks, that is refreshing. He's putting God before he puts his relationship with this budding politician. Okay, let's go right to the lines now. We've got in Florida, Roslyn. Roslyn, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I just want to say that I am a Black Republican and I love President Trump for his courage and his boldness. He is not a regular president, and I'm glad about that because the regular ones was taking us way left, way too fast, and I'm glad that God allowed him to intervene so that we can have more time to minister God's love and grace to our loved ones.
Well, Roslyn, listen, I think you got a whole bunch of people right now saying amen to what you just said. So thank you so much for the call, Roslyn. And I'm sure you're one of those people out there who is praying for the president. And don't let anybody tell you that because you happen to be Black, you can't support President Donald Trump. That's one of the biggest lies that has ever been told. And that, to me, is racist, and it's the left that's trafficking in that. So thank you, Rosalind, for the call. Let's go to Chris in Texas. Chris, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, Chris, you are on.
Oh, yes, thank you. Hey, all I have to say is I agree with you about him being an entertaining speaker, but my wife and I would just like him just to cut back on his language.
Yeah, he could do that. I don't disagree with that. You know, and of course, I don't curse, and I don't think Christians should. Although, to be fair, I've certainly met Christians who do and who struggle with it, who, you know, they get upset about something or something happens and out it slips. So I hear what you're saying, Chris. But here again, I'm not making excuses for that. All I'm saying is, for the president of the United States, the most important thing for us, and it's not like he's just using down and dirty, you know, kind of really prurient, disgusting, degrading language. He uses sort of the typical epithets that and expletives that, you know, people come out with when they're, you know, just kind of using a little salty language. So not making excuses for that, but it's what he does, what he's doing, his policies that matter. You know, I told people, look, I regret it now. Of course, I didn't have much of an alternative, but I voted for Mitt Romney. And I told people, I said, look, I'm not voting for a pastor. I'm voting for a president. And I just thought he's got to be better than what we've got now. I'm not so sure about that anymore, but nevertheless. So I think the same is obviously true for President Trump. We didn't vote for a pastor. We voted for a president. And we just have to pray for him to continue to grow and mature as a Christian. Let's go to Bob in Bob, where are you? Bob, you're in Montana. Yes. All right, Bob.
Yes, Bob.
Welcome.
Yes, Pastor. I'd like to ask your opinion on this. When the left was making those accusations for the impeachment of Donald Trump, and then Professor Dershowitz went in defense of the president and got his points across from what the Constitution said. And then the way it was ended up, when you make accusations against somebody that are not true, aren't you setting yourself up for some kind of a justice problem?
Well, you know, there are two things, Bob. But thanks for the call. Look, that whole impeachment process was an abomination. It was the most disgusting perversion of justice that I think I've ever seen in public life in America. And I'm serious about that. It was horrible. But, you know, they've got two protections. One is anything they say on the floor of Congress. They're shielded from any liability for that. They have a kind of immunity for it. And the second thing is that public figures, of course, have a very difficult time in our country suing people. Even if they say false things about you, it's very, very difficult to sue anybody unless you can prove that it was said with malicious intent. So people, these politicians have a lot of protection against the things that they say and do to harm others. You know, that cuts both ways, but that's the way it is right now. Let's go to Carl. Carl, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, Carl, you're on.
Yes, Pastor. I'm sorry for disturbing you or
margin. You're not disturbing me. You're not disturbing me. I'm glad to talk to you.
I was listening when you started your show that you didn't feel that President Trump was prophetic or created, or you said he was created for this time, but I can't remember the term.
Yeah, I said that was not the way I felt at first, right, because I was supporting, I mean, full disclosure, I was initially supporting Ted Cruz. So, yeah, I didn't see Trump as the guy.
Yeah, I didn't either. And there was a few before I settled on Cruz that I, like Jindal, I thought he had an awesome message, but I knew that people wouldn't support him. And then the Christian from, I can't think, his daughter was on the news people for the president. Saunders.
Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee?
Huckabee. I love Huckabee.
But so do I.
I knew that the country wouldn't support a Christian. Now, the problem, you know, I like I said, I wasn't going to vote for President Trump, but God kept giving me Nineveh and Nebuchadnezzar. And he did it three times, and I couldn't figure out why. And I finally realized that God was telling me, if America doesn't turn around, we're going to get destroyed just like Nineveh. And he sent us Trump like Nebuchadnezzar, not a Christian, not a believer, but through Daniel, came to understand God.
And I think that's
taking place in the country.
All right, Carl. Thank you. Carl, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. And I appreciate those prophetic references. I've heard a number of them with regard to this president. Let's go to Bob in Ohio. Bob, welcome. Bob, you are on.
This is Bob, Buckeye Lake, Ohio. Reference one of the callers there. If Trump doesn't get reelected, we're going to have a lot more to worry about than a little language and some Twitter stuff. But the reason why I called is this next election is going to be all hands on deck. You talk about cheating. They're cheating right now. That's what concerns me. They're cheating right now. They're in the process of cheating. They've cheated in the past, and they're going to cheat like there's no tomorrow because for them, there'll be no tomorrow if Trump gets elected. And I tell you what, it's going to be catastrophic for our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren if these evil Democrats somehow gain hold like they want to gain hold. And I think those people who are spiritual can understand this, but it's going to be so. What Dr. Robert Jeffers was talking about, how it will go that way. I'm going to say this: it will go that way. I like the Book of Revelation. If the Democrats get it,
I got it. Thank you, Bob. And let me try to get a couple more phone calls in here before we have to go. Look, you put in perspective the whole language issue, and I appreciate that. Let's go to David in Virginia. David, welcome.
How are you?
I'm blessed, David. How are you?
Man, I'm living the dream, just like every day. Hey, I'm calling. I'm in Virginia. I'm in Chesapeake, actually. And so, growing up in Virginia was always a solid red state. And as you know, the last three presidential elections, that hasn't been the case. But with what's going on in Richmond, and you've seen the 2A movement here, do you think there's a chance that Virginia could go red this year for Trump?
David, I'm going to go out on a limb and predict that Virginia will go red for Trump. I'm going to predict that. I think that that Northam and his crew up there have awakened a sleeping giant, and they are about to get bit in the backside in a major way. So, yeah, David, I'm extremely hopeful. I'm not taking anything for granted, mind you, but I'm extremely hopeful. Thank you for the call, David. Let me try to get Joseph here from North Carolina in before we have to go. Joseph, you are on, and you've got about 30 seconds.
I would like to say this. If you're a Holy Spirit-filled Democrat, so is Donald Trump, Moses, George Washington, Abraham. If you say you love this country and you do not have the Holy Ghost, you are nothing. But if you are spirit-filled with the Holy Ghost, then vote for Trump and get the abomination out of this country that was founded on God Almighty and not lies, in Jesus' name.
All right, Joseph. Well, you got your sermon in for the day. And I would only add this, whether you consider yourself spirit-filled or not, I hope you will consider yourself a patriot and someone who loves this country and our Constitution and will vote for people who reflect the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was built. I hope you will do that at every level, local, state, and federal. And folks, I believe that there is an awakening happening in the country right now, and that we're going to see this reflected in the upcoming elections for the next several years. And in the meantime, just remember how we got here, knowing this, that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.